Hi, welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show. And tonight we're going to have a lot of fun. Welcome to 1340 Tan Talk Radio and 1340 and 1400 down in the voice of, we're the voice of Tampa Bay. And so tonight we're going to have on Dr. Ann Blake Tracy, a good friend of Len, Dr. Horowitz, who you hear all the time. Dr. Tracy has a biochemistry background and a holistic background, and she's a freedom fighter, which is very important now in the time that we're living in because of the fact that they're trying to take away our ability to buy vitamins and have nutritional values in our body and switch that instead for drugs. And so Dr. Tracy is the drug terror. She goes after the drug companies, and she's got a lot to say, and I know there's a lot of you out there listening in. Also, I've got the camera focused tonight on the two paintings in the magic room because they do change now. This is the time of year when that energy starts changing rather than looking at me. So with that, I'd like to welcome Dr. Tracy. How are you doing?
All right. I appreciate you having me on.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you here. And Len Horowitz says he's got a plane ticket for you any time to come over to his place. Says, however, it might be a little rock and rolly over there these days.
I was just going to say, as soon as the ground stops shaking,
yeah,
I know I'll be over.
Yeah, he wants us, well, that's you over there especially. So tell us a little bit about your background, because I better for my guests to do that rather than me, because you get it right, and I'll just screw it up and make them mad at me, you know?
I've spent the last 17 years researching and writing about drugs that affect serotonin levels, mainly antidepressants. There are many other drugs that do affect serotonin levels as well, but that's my main area of expertise. For 15 years, I have testified as an expert witness in court cases involving these drugs. I was the expert in comedian Phil Hartman's tragic murder-suicide. That case has been settled by the makers of Zoloft, the wrongful death suit. And I've worked most of the school shootings, helped with Andrea Yates' case. I could go on and on and on. It's better to go to our website at drugawareness.org and take a look at the huge, huge number of high-profile cases in this country that involved these medications so that people can begin to see why all of the top police chiefs nationwide are saying we've got a huge increase in violence, it's epidemic proportion, and what blows them away is that these are cases where there is no motive.
I agree, and the sad thing about it is that when you look at the insanity of the way our government is run, you know, it's nothing. You just go back about every 200 years in history and you see the same thing. We're back about, I guess, now the time just before we left England to come and start the United States up, or we can go back to the Inquisition. It's just about that bad, as far as I can tell. And now on top of the government trying to take away our nutritional freedoms, one of the next week's guests is going to be on that's going to be a topic, a doctor on that topic.
Well, the minute you start taking away the nutrition, of course, people are going to have to resort to drugs, and that's what they're trying to do, I think.
Totally, and it's done purposely. The FDA really doesn't seem to care what's in the...
The FDA's in the back pocket of the drug companies.
Exactly.
Anybody knows that? Now they've got the National Institute of Health, too, which is really scary. That was our only bastion of hope for independent research, and now the drug companies are funding their studies as well.
Right, and I know that, well, I'd like to, you know, just, I, you know, I mean, even today, I believe, I think this morning on the news, there was going to be a school shooting, even on a Saturday. I think it got stopped on the way, but some kid had a gun, probably on drugs. Let's just go, last week, as you know, your friend that was on, Mark Taylor.
Right.
And he, of course, was shot by Eric Harris, who was on some drugs. Could you fill us in a little bit on what Eric Harris was all about and what he was taking and why? I mean, there's no reason why, but I mean, some young 15-year-old, 16-year-old kid on this stuff. It just makes no sense.
Well, since you've got listeners that might be a little more open and knowledgeable about health, I can give you a little bit more of a background that I would give most people. That is, you've got to stop and think where it was that Eric and Dylan were working before they ended up in trouble breaking into the van. They were both working at a pizza parlor.
Okay. Eating lots of junk food pizza.
Right. And keep in mind Dr. Cade's work out of the University of Florida, where he found that children that were autistic or schizophrenic, once he took them off dairy products, 80% of them normalized, because so many people can no longer metabolize the milk protein, the casein. And when casein cannot be metabolized, it will go to the brain and turn to casomorphine, which is a powerful serotonin reuptake inhibitor. It can totally disrupt brain function. So those are things that we need to keep in mind, how much a part of Columbine it played. We'll never know, because nobody ever tested Eric and Dylan to see if they could metabolize the milk protein. But that's something to keep in mind as we see what is leading people to the point where they think, or someone around them thinks, that their behavior indicates they needed a drug. Of course, we all know what sugar does. We all know what NutraSweet does. NutraSweet is the closest thing to an antidepressant that we saw before these antidepressants hit the market. It is a serotonin reuptake inhibitor, just like the antidepressants are.
Well, you know, the FDA wouldn't even approve NutraSweet. What's his name? Our Secretary of Defense pushed that through in his little company over there. Donald Rumsfeld, who happens to own the major stockholder in the company that makes NutraSweet.
Yeah.
The FDA wouldn't even approve it. It was so bad.
And
I have seen people go crazy on that one. I have had patients of my own that I have had to take off of it. They were almost dying. They had been prescribed all kinds of drugs.
Exactly.
And as soon as we took them off NutraSweet, they didn't need the drugs anymore, to the point where they were getting into seizures.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Seizures from NutraSweet.
Oh, yeah. Well, serotonin, when it gets high enough, is going to overstimulate the brain to the point that you have seizure activity, which is how these drugs produce the psychotic breaks that they do. You go into a continuous mild seizure activity, and you've got somebody who's bipolar, because mania is a continuous series of mild seizures. Now, there's something else that, if people will stop and think, we have always known is also mild seizure activity. We call it the dream state.
Right.
So what we're doing, in fact, there are brainwave patterns in my book that show brainwaves of a patient who's been on Prozac for 6 months. He's in his early 30s, 6 months on Prozac. The brainwaves show that he is in a total anesthetic sleep state, as if he's ready for surgery, and he's dreaming while he's sitting there talking to the people taking the test.
Now, a lot of people don't understand what that means, but the closest thing for you out there that don't understand what Dr. Tracy is saying is that when people take angel dust, they go into a... And that's PCP. They go into a state of being in another world. They become violent sometimes.
That's right.
They become out of control. This was developed by the Army years ago, because I was at the Army base in Little Rock that made this stuff.
And these drugs are the closest thing we've ever seen to PCP.
Right. And both and the drugs that they use to... use against viruses now, you know, immune system, you know, inhibitors, which, you know, flu shots. All these drugs can contain two major ingredients. One is called cyclohexene, one is called cyclohexane, and one was called piperidine. which is used in ketamine and angel dust. These are the two main ingredients in both these drugs.
Right. Well, ketamine and angel dust are in the same family of drug, and guess what? It's now supposed to be the next greatest thing for depression. Have you heard that yet?
No, I haven't heard it, but I see
it. The National Institute of Health.
Because I've been studying all these drugs even before I met you, and I've seen this ingredient. I see cyclohexane and everything. And then if anybody wants to type it in on the internet and go look it up, it's even posted on the back inside on my BBS radio, on my host website inside there. You'll see all the warnings, how toxic this drug is.
Oh, it is so frightening. And it will literally put you into a sleepwalk state where you start acting out nightmares.
Right, that's exactly what happens. And it works, it shifts your aura frequency into what we call reptilian energies or negative energies that are enhanced by these ELF-generating satellites like the Clementine have been put up there, which are also funded by drug companies, which were funded by funded the Third Reich. And the people behind these drug companies came over here, a lot of them, on Operation Paperclip, and they were actual Nazis from World War II.
I include that in my book as well. I was shocked to learn all of that.
Yeah, it's amazing. And in my time, when I worked with Wernher von Braun and NASA, I had to work for these maniacs. And believe me, I worked for a bunch of them. I started working for one of them at the University of Michigan. He was a nice guy, Dr. Katz. I worked in a radiation lab with him. He was a good one. Wernher von Braun was a good guy because he ran away from Hitler. But the people that but people don't realize is around these nice Nazi type guys, and there was one guy that we worked with. I won't name his name, but he ran a death camp. But he was also working with a scientist. So when he came over here, he was one of these enforcers that if you didn't cooperate with somebody like Wernher von Braun, they could make life pretty miserable for you to the point where, and they also, by the way, worked for NSA simultaneously. The NSA took the worst ones, and they will kill you. They'll have you, they will arrange for you to die. It's not a problem. And these people are older guys. They're hardcore. They're tremendously powerful, and they're very influential, and they're around. They're still around. Some of the original ones from the Third Reich are still walking the streets and working, even though they're in their 80s and 70s. They're incredibly powerful people, and they're out there, and I've met them. And so a lot of people don't realize this is going on, and it's getting out of control. Now, the next thing, you know, as you know, they took away habeas corpus. And a lot of people, that's an Italian meaning, Latin meaning, own your own body. So now you don't own your own bodies anymore. You know, you have no constitutional freedoms. If they want to come to your house tonight, any one of you listeners out there, with no search warrant, the feds can come in, take you away. You have no right to an attorney, and you could easily end up in one of these 600 brand-new prisons just recently built and being maintained for your welcome by the U.S. Army. You can start to see how it all goes together now, you know, as the program goes. And the people that are going to be going there, you know, this is all set up for terrorists, right? Well, I don't think we have enough terrorists to fill 600 prisons. You know, I think we need practically half the population of the United States to go in there. And these drug companies are going to try to get you to go in there. Now, one thing that I did a lot of research on angel dust, and one of the first things that I noticed is that the front part of the brain, which is more the right and left center of the brain, which is somewhat for logic and illogic, mm-hmm. and somewhat thinking and reasoning, the angel dust, this piperidine and phencyclidine in combination, puts that part to sleep. It numbs it. It actually becomes numb. A lot of people on angel dust,
exactly.
Yeah, they it's like Freon. You know, you spray Freon, an electronic component, when you're working on an old radio or something, and it freezes that part. It freezes your brain, so it doesn't function. So now you go back to your beta, alpha, data, theta, and you go into your deepest, highest consciousness, like REM sleep, and that's where you wake up in that state, and you don't really know where you are. That's my experience with this stuff.
That's
what
happens is you've got someone like Andrea Yates, who is an extremely devoted mother. Everything she did was for those kids. She even homeschooled them so that she could spend more time with them. In acting out her worst nightmare on two of these drugs at maximum dose, she took the lives of the five people who meant the most to her.
Right.
And that's what happens. People come out of it. Well, Andrea's never given a chance to come out of it. They've drugged her ever since it happened. But if you get a chance to come out of it, you stand there saying, I did what?
Oh, I know. We no. had there's a couple of people here in town that I knew that I knew. One of them was an artist, one of them was a photographer. They were brothers. And they were doing a lot of ketamine. This was about 15 years ago.
Mm.
And they were doing ketamine repeatedly. Well, this is I can give a lot of examples. I've been in UCLA. I've taken people out of straitjackets strung out on angel dust, but this is one incident. So I had a drug rehab for these drugs. That's why I know about this stuff 20 years ago. So anyway, the first name of one of them was Mike, and the other one was Don. So Don was the artist, and he maintained some kind of his chemistry was such that when he did this ketamine, his personality, even though they were brothers, was very friendly. He was happy and loving, but completely out of it. He'd give everything away, and he became irresponsible, but he had a very good feeling. His soul came from a place where he was a kind of a good person. He's a great, great artist, still around. His brother, on the other hand, and both these guys, when you talk to them when they were not high on anything, were both sweet as can be. You said these are great brothers. They love each other. They love life. They love their parents. Well, the other one, Mike, the photographer, when he got on this stuff, he became possessed. His soul was so weak with his willpower, because if your will is weak, you can be possessed, and demons would take over. And finally, one day on the ketamine nut, which is a little weaker than angel dust, when he was high, he took a knife to himself and disemboweled himself on the drug with no pain. And of course, he died from it, but he completely cut his own intestines out. And that sounds a little gruesome, but that's what happened. Two guys, and it was a big thing here in town when that happened. He didn't harm anybody else, and he wasn't even suicidal. He just decided to cut himself up one night to explore his own innards like you would on a dream, you know, maybe a nightmare. But nobody in their right mind would do that, normally. I mean, just that's just one incident of what I've seen on these drugs, and this is a true story.
Well, and that is almost identical to what I see day in and day out with antidepressants.
Yeah. Now, one antidepressant.
Drugs.
Yeah, yeah. The one that that you testified on that that has the side effect of homicidal ideation. Lexor, what was that one? I'm trying to remember the name. There's so many drugs now.
It's
I have it in your little. In your statement on the front page here somewhere. But tell us about that, the one you were testifying about to the FDA, right? That was one of the drugs, and that's made by Wyon Labs or something?
Wyon.
Yeah, Effexor.
Effexor, and that's what Andrea Yates was on.
Yeah.
They knew that the drug caused homicide before they ever put it on the market. The warning was not issued until just a year ago.
Wow.
After the drug had been out for quite a few years. So they knew when Andrea Yates started taking it that it was a possibility that she could murder somebody.
And they mean the medical community, right?
What? Pardon me?
The doctors.
Yeah.
And the
drug company themselves.
Right. Now,
they didn't warn the doctors.
Well, the doctors didn't know.
Right.
Do the doctors know now?
Oh, no, because they don't bother to read the package inserts.
Wow.
Of course, that one's buried on page 38. How many doctors are going to read that far on one drug?
What, the side effect called homicidal ideation?
Right.
Yeah, page 38. Yeah, exactly. I do know this. I know this for a fact. There are certain doctors that I know that do psychiatry work, and they're pressured by the drug companies. And to sell this stuff, they bring them samples. I've seen it done. They have them in their little offices in their clinics. And if they don't use those samples and prescribe, the AMA comes along, American Medical Association, and threatens their license. I've seen that. That's pretty scary.
Yeah.
And here's a doctor who makes his living. He went to 8 years or 9 years of college, sometimes 10 years of college, and he's being told basically to kill people. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And if he doesn't, he'll lose his license. And the conscientious doctors I work with fight this stuff on a vehement level. But I mean, still, it's kind of a sad state when allopathic medicine reaches the levels of Frankensteinian mechanics.
Well, what people need to understand when they say homicidal ideation, it doesn't mean that you just might kill somebody. What it means is that the drug induces constant ruminating thoughts of killing someone and how to go about it. Those are thoughts you can't shake, and they're just repetitive.
Oh, I know.
Can think about. That's what homicidal ideation means.
Right, I totally understand what that means. I hope the audience out there, this is not a funny thing. If you've ever tried angel dust or got on these drugs for any length of time, believe me, I know you're going to have, I don't care how good your soul and your spirit is, you're
right.
Going to be, one of the things that happened when the CIA was testing originally back in the 50s, Searle was the company who was making angel dust then, they found that the environment, they tried mm-hmm. using the stuff from remote viewing, and the Russians were doing it too. And they could actually, they got, these guys, some people were highly trained, but they had to be in an environment. Like one of the first things that the old government studies showed with these drugs was that if the environment was calm and peaceful, they could perform some of the stuff they wanted to do. As soon as you introduced any kind of interference, and people that have to realize that when you're on these drugs, you're slightly out of your body, so if I'm talking at a normal level, it might sound like somebody's shouting at you. Or if something is actually would be calming to the normal person, it might be exciting you and making you angry. And then when you get angry, we all have a tendency at one. I bet there isn't a listener out there that hasn't, in one time or another, not on drugs, gotten so darn angry at something that they did to like catch themselves and their blood pressure would shoot up and everything. I bet everybody out there has had that experience once upon a time somewhere at some age or maybe more. And I've had it. We all have. Part of the lessons in life, I feel, is to overcome this anger that we all have within us. It's our animal nature. And so amplify that times a million times when the people are on these drugs, that kind of anger, they're out of control. I mean, they are absolutely demonized, I feel.
Well,
do you,
I would agree,
do you agree
to
that. With that or?
Most of the patients tell me that they feel possessed.
Yeah.
Somebody else's brain is in their body. And I've had atheists express it the same way. They don't know how else to say it.
Yeah, and that's the only way it can be expressed as far as I'm concerned. One of these topics, I was studying this long before the first schoolyard shooting. I was doing this back in the 60s, in the early 70s. I spent a tremendous amount of time studying these drugs. And I was around a lot of it. And I found one night I had to go up to UCLA. And there was a lady that was one of my clients. She was an heiress. And they called me at 2 o'clock in the morning, and they had her in a straitjacket. And she was at a party in Bel Air. And they called me, and they couldn't calm her down. She was just trying to rip the straitjacket apart. So I went up there, and I got all the people out of the room, and I calmed her down. I just, she knew who I was and not be afraid. And I talked her down to the point where she started functioning again. Then they released her from the straitjacket. She was fine because now the stuff had worn off. She had mixed angel dust and tequila. And, of course, she was up in the jacket for about 4 hours. So luckily the angel dust doesn't last as long as LSD and some of these other drugs in the system. But I know it compounds in the fat tissue. But she came down and she couldn't remember any of it. She could not remember how she got there, where she was. It's just lucky that one of the doctors up there knew me and knew that I was helping her and called me. Or she probably would have. Maybe never come. I've seen people never come back. I've seen them go out and get so screwed up on this stuff, they just never come back. Never. And they're just nobody home anymore. I don't know if these drugs do that too, but I got a feeling after a while they will.
Patients,
what do you think?
Always say that they're afraid they'll never be able to be the person that they were again.
Exactly. And from the healthy side of it,
I believe you can, but you've really got to know how to rebuild the body.
Yeah, well, if you freeze your brain cells long enough, there's definitely going to be some damage. You're going to have to reprogram other parts of your brain to have the memories of what you've destroyed, because I think these things do destroy brain cells. I mean, I may be wrong, but I feel that's what happens.
And we do have that documented, and it comes from oxygen deprivation.
Right. Tell us a little bit about that.
Your main function of serotonin is constriction of smooth muscle tissue.
Right.
Your smooth muscle tissue are all the organs of the body, which will explain to you why Hannah Nicole Smith's son died on two of them, plus methadone, which is also one. So you got three drugs increasing serotonin levels, causing this constriction of all the organs of the body and constriction of the bronchial tubes, arteries and veins. You're cutting off oxygen supply like crazy to the brain.
Right. That's amazing. I remember the best thing that we could do with angel dust, which created this constriction. And I think that's while they're getting the rush. It's like a rush as they go up in the speed. We used to give them niacin to get them down. Niacin, huge amounts. Niacin is a muscle relaxant. And that was one of the things that we were able to treat people with. And B3, along with lysine and arginine, create a hormone called vasopressin, which produces euphoria. But these drugs suppress, I think, the body's ability to produce vasopressin or even secrete it into the frontal lobes of the brain. I may be wrong on my chemistry. You're way more enlightened in this than I am. But have you done much research with vasopressin at all or into it?
I have not.
Okay. Well, there was a company called Sandoz that was making a product called Diapid. And then you would squirt that in your nose, and it was kind of a synthetic form of cocaine. And it would give people, you know, a positive boost without doing inhibiting everything. But the problem with that was is that the pituitary gland, after a while, which produces this from lysine, arginine, and B3, has a tendency to not produce. It gets lazy.
Yeah.
So now you're strung out on Diapid, and the body is that way. You know, if you don't keep things exercised up pretty good and use a massage, things quit. And when you get older, of course, as you and I both know, it's more. You really got to keep your body going now, like versus when you were younger.
Well, everybody is sitting around saying, "What on earth is going on with our society?" You know, where are all of these bizarre things coming from? I look at that old man that was just convicted.
Oh yeah, he's 80 some years old now. He was on. What was he on when he ran over about 45 or 50 people?
Well, most elderly people anymore, by the time they get to his age, are on between 10 and 20 drugs.
That's, I know.
And they're pushing these to the elderly like you just would not believe. And, of course, they're going to be as vulnerable as a child would be because they're at the other end of the spectrum as far as their body function goes.
Yeah, it's true. Their sensitivity is going to be very high now.
Yeah, very, very high.
Yeah.
And yet we're drugging them like crazy. I mean, didn't the man say something about, well, if they saw me coming, why didn't they get out of the way?
Yeah.
I had a woman that...
actually said that when he got out of his car.
Yeah, and I had a woman that had been on these drugs for about 14 years, and she drove in to get some bagels.
Yes.
Elderly man got in her way, and she, like, just drove over him and then backed up over him, and he was an elderly Latino man. And she walked on into the bagel shop after she had run over this man several times and said something about, oh, those sticks.
Wow.
And yet her husband called me and said, this is crazy because I'm part Hispanic. She's never had anything against Hispanics.
Yeah, some probably a evil.
That's what she said, and I'm sure she had no recall of any of it afterwards.
Yeah, what'd they end up doing to her, by the way? They try to give her an insanity plea, or?
I never heard back. I don't know. I don't know what happened. There's so many of these. I get so many calls. It's just unbelievable how many. But that's why, you know, everyone's saying, well, gee, the person feels no remorse. They don't even know what happened enough until they're told everything.
And yeah, no, I know. I had
under
recently,
the influence of a drug that takes away their emotions. How are they supposed to feel remorse?
Yeah, I had a. We bought a couple of years ago. We bought a BMW X5, a new one, and we drove it over. My girlfriend drove it over to the Home Depot and parked it on the edge of the parking lot. And we're right by what we call Leisure World over there. And one of these old people got in their car, was driving around, drove right into the side of it, destroyed the door on the back, and drove off. Never left a note. Probably wasn't even aware of it. Miguel came out, this brand new car, got a huge gash in the side of it. And some old person just drove off, you know, and didn't get the license number. So, I mean, around these communities where these old elderly people are, it's scary, you know. And then the wealthier ones, and that's Leisure World, you got to have quite a bit of money. You know, to live there anyway, they also like alcohol quite a bit. I've seen them at a couple restaurants, like a Coco's I go to for breakfast in the morning. They're in there, and they're having their Bloody Marys at 8 o'clock, you know.
That's because they've put them on antidepressants, which causes them to have uncontrollable cravings for alcohol.
Yeah, I believe that. And I've also noticed that the people that I treated that were angel dust victims back when I had that clinic, a lot of them became alcoholics afterwards. It seemed to be pretty common, actually. They didn't drink any alcohol when they were doing the PCP on it, except this one girl that I was telling you about. She liked to do tequila with it, but normally they didn't do any alcohol.
So it causes severe hypoglycemia and the withdrawal.
Yeah.
Like these drugs do.
Yeah.
But they cause it even when you're on it. It's the first thing I saw was the cravings for alcohol.
Yeah.
I was sitting in the middle of Utah, and I saw people, of course, teetotaling Mormons that had never touched alcohol before in their lives. You give them an antidepressant, and overnight they're almost alcoholic.
Yeah. And I've known a lot of Mormon people and in my life that didn't do the drugs, and hardly any of them drank. I guess I would have been an alcoholic, having a couple glasses of wine once in a while with them. I remember when I used to fly up to Salt Lake City, I'd get off the plane, and you couldn't buy alcohol in a bar in an airport. You had to go to a little closet,
right,
and get something and pour it in your drink if you had to have alcohol that bad, because they wouldn't even allow it in their home state.
Exactly, but these drugs these people have never tasted alcohol. How do they know to crave it?
Yeah,
it's because these drugs drastically drop your blood sugar, and it's a natural reaction to reach for either sugar or alcohol, which produces the same effect in the body and boosts that sugar level up very, very quickly. But then, of course, the bad thing is it drops it lower than ever after the initial high.
Right.
Which
causes depression.
Alcoholism.
Yeah, and huge depression sets in.
Right.
I know, and in my studies, I know that to assimilate a sugar molecule out of ATP, you need to have 6 carbon atoms, and alcohol is 12 carbon atoms, and I'm sorry, 9 carbon atoms, and sugar is 12 carbon atoms, compound sugars, and so I remember because I was working I was formulating protein powders for a bunch of companies, and I was formulating protein powders that would allow children to go from breastfeeding to these protein powders. And at the time, there was things like called one product other called SIGO, which was full of sugar. And so, so what I saw if they went the SIGO route, like a lot of mothers did, like most of them, the child drinking this SIGO mixture. Produced alcohol in their brain, and these kids became alcoholics 9 or 10 or 11 years old. In this town of Laguna Beach where I live, we have many, many, many alcoholic children here that have to go to AA meetings that are saying, well, I'm having my 21st birthday, but I've had to be sober for 4 years now. I can't go out and party. And I've heard this at the AA meetings because I work with the AA people here. and I work with Al-Anon. I work with all of them, and it's sad. A kid 16, 17 years old have to go to AA to get two or three DUIs. They just got their driver's license or a learner's permit sometimes, and they get two DUIs, and they're in AA because they were raised on sugar as children.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. It's ethanol. It breaks down from sugar to ethanol in the brain.
That's right.
And I saw that was a wake-up call. I learned that probably. I was probably in the mid-'80s when I started studying sugar, because I used to eat sugar. And I went off it, and I went into honey. Now, eventually, I guess I was blessed. I was able to lose the craving for honey or sugar, and I don't care. Like iced tea, I drink iced tea with no sugar. I don't like anything sweet anymore. I just developed a craving against it. I don't know what happened. I like to recommend other people do it, but I don't know how I did it. You know what I mean? I don't even like sugar. It's just yucky. It just, looking at it, I get hair on my, arm standing up because I don't want to get near it.
Right.
Yeah.
Under the Influence by Dr. James Milam. Excellent, excellent book explaining how alcoholism is literally hypoglycemia, which could help a whole lot of people.
Yeah. Now tell us a little bit. You have a book out, right?
I do. It's called Prozac Panacea or Pandora, about the whole Prozac family of drugs. And the subtitle is Our Serotonin Nightmare, which it literally has been. And when people stand back and see how many have died, how many have had their lives totally destroyed, turned upside down and backwards, they'll see that this was one of the worst nightmares we've ever lived from drugs.
Yeah, I need to get when the show is, I'll call you in the next few days. I want to have you send me a book and I'll buy it, and then I want to send you one of mine because I want to read your book. I actually have been so busy. I should have had you send me one out before because that book looks pretty good. Do you have some of your testifying? Is some of that stuff in that book? Because I know you've been in court cases and that. Do you have any of that information in there? Is that or not?
Well, the book was written basically to help families understand so that they could put relationships back together again. Because for years I've called these drugs the divorce pills.
Right.
But they also call the false accusations of abuse. You know, you've heard about the false memory syndrome.
Right.
Nearly everyone who's done that is on one of these drugs because those horrifyingly vivid, vivid nightmares that you have are often sexual in nature, and you have them repeatedly. So the patient begins to think that what they're doing is remembering something that happened in the past. So
it didn't happen.
Begin to accuse someone. Of course, if it's a nightmare, it's going to be somebody that you care about a lot who has done something terrible to you, because, of course, that's going to be one of your worst nightmares anybody could dream of.
Right.
And so they begin to accuse those around them of possibly. Some of the high-profile cases that you could look at and people could remember is Roseanne Barr.
Right.
Roseanne was on Prozac when she began accusing her parents of molesting her.
That's really interesting. That's a serious accusation in today's society.
Oh, really serious. Thank you, Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah.
Mr. Witch Hunt himself.
Have you been at his show yet?
Thank God, no.
I just wondered.
I shouldn't say that, but he drives me insane. I mean, this man calls himself a Christian, and yet he denies everything that Christ ever came to earth for. He wouldn't know what forgiveness was for anything, in spite of what the Amish just did in that terrible tragedy to teach all of us about forgiveness. Just, it drives me crazy. Why don't we want to understand what's going on around us so that we can change it instead of just throw them all in jail, kill them? You know, come on.
Well, it's really interesting because I spent a lot of time in Europe, and the Europeans, especially when I lived in Germany, I didn't see this kind of a problem over there. Because they're more homeopathic oriented, you know. Homeopathy is the...
We are their biggest market. What do we use? Something like 90% of the prescription drugs made?
The German manufacturers, yeah. But the people themselves don't seem to be so strung out.
And according to their figures, prescription drugs, taking them as prescribed, are the third leading cause of death in this country today.
Right.
Killing as many people every week as we lost at 9/11. Now, you tell me who the terrorist is.
Oh, I agree with you. Totally.
I don't even worry about that war over wherever it is.
Yeah, in Iraq.
I think
we ought to give the Iraqis, we ought to give all the terrorists these drugs. Then they'll stick out better, you know.
Well, according to their own psychiatrist, what they needed was not more guns, but more Prozac.
Yeah.
That's what he told the L.A. Times.
That's funny.
That was the Taliban psychiatrist.
Really?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
In fact, he said that these drugs are so wonderful that taking them is like swallowing a little piece of God.
That's perfect.
Can you tell me if anybody walking in his office ever left without one?
Wow. Well, I know that the effects are as $3.46 billion annually. That's pretty big. That's just one.
Oh, I know.
I know some people that are in that income bracket, and I've seen how they made their money in that. And when you're in the billion-dollar range, there is no you're above the law. I mean, there's no law there. You buy and sell whatever you want. You take what you want, and people just turn their back. And if they don't, they're gone. And it's just pure, hard, and simple how this country works, and most of the world, actually.
Well, when I first did my research on these drugs, I thought it would take me a year or two at the very most before everyone understood what was wrong with the whole hypothesis behind these drugs.
Right.
Because it's so incredibly simple to see. When you look at the science, it's just easy as pie to see where they goofed with these drugs.
Oh,
but
I agree.
I had no idea I was facing about $100 million in income every day.
Yeah.
That's what antidepressants bring in.
Yeah. And for that reason...
I can get nothing out there because I'm trying to find that big a profit. Gee.
Well, what happens, remember, the prophet has no honor in his own land, her own land. What about Prozac? Well, that's like Ted Binion over there, and the guy that started the Golden Nugget in Las Vegas. You know, he was on,
Xanax, I know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, Xanax. Tell me that's the one that, I see a lot of these wealthy types boozing it up and having their Xanax. I see a lot of you know, Newport Beach is not far from here, and I call that Plasticville in California, a very wealthy community in Corona Del Mar. And I see these women driving around in their fancy Mercedes Benzes, and I see them go to these high-end bars, and I see them sit down with their purses, and I see them start drinking and start pulling out Xanax. I see a lot of that. So that's really got me curious now. What is the mystique of Xanax?
Well, Xanax is super duper Valium.
Okay.
It is far more addictive than Valium.
Okay.
What
happens when they do it with alcohol? Seems to me if you're out drinking with your girlfriends, you wouldn't be want to be popping this stuff and make you go to sleep and fall on your drink. Does it wake them up? Does it have a different reverse effect on alcohol? Or what is the deal there?
It probably doesn't do that because the reason they're probably taking the Xanax and the reason they're drinking is probably because of their antidepressants.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Which they've already taken earlier in the day.
Yeah, those came earlier.
Right.
They're rich and bored. I even think they give their dogs to some of this stuff. Don't dogs get it now, some of these animals? I've heard that they actually have some of these chemicals now for dogs.
Oh, they've been pushing them to animals for a long time.
Why do they do that?
Money. Who they give it to as long as they're making a buck.
What does the animal do? Does it have a tendency to become a nice little dog, all of a sudden comes over and goes for the throat one day, or does it affect them, or what? Have you noticed? I mean, this is a funny topic to get into, but I'm just curious, you know?
Their own studies that were done early on Prozac, were done on dogs and cats. When they were given the drugs, they began to growl and hiss.
Wow.
And they did that just within, what, like 3 days on it?
Whoa, that's amazing.
And it took several days coming down for that stop.
You mean after they quit giving them, the animal would still hiss and growl?
That's right.
For 3 more days or more?
Right.
Wow. And so, therefore, they figured people needed this right away.
Right. Lots of Parkinson's-like symptoms in the very beginning as well.
Wow. Well, I guess that this kind of makes Joseph Mengele kind of a saint.
Yeah, really.
You know what I mean? After hearing what you're telling me tonight, I think he was a good guy in all this.
What's really sad is that these drugs are so subtle, you don't see it coming until it's too late.
Yeah. Well, that's the way angel dust was on people. I've seen people smoke that stuff, never had it before, and some of them had a great time on it, and others just turned into killers. You'd almost have to bring them down and put a piece of rope around them. I've actually seen that happen at parties back in my old Hollywood days when I'd go to those parties, and that was a common drug. And I was amazed. I was amazed at how Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde syndrome comes on that. So I think this stuff is stronger. I really do, because they do it every day. You know, and I guess the fat tissues probably store it too. I know that the pyridine is nice and fat, so
they're protein bound.
Yeah, there you go. So
that's what's scary, is they bind the brain tissue.
Yeah.
We have no idea how long it takes to get it out.
Well, yeah, and the fact is it can build up, and then one day this person
has.
Yeah, they sober up for a few minutes and realize they want to detox, and they're going to be in real trouble.
That's right. That's why I've got a CD or audio tape detailing how you come off of it safely and how you rebuild so that you can overcome the effects.
Yeah. How does somebody get a hold of
your
book and these tapes and all of that? How do people get this? I think it's a very important instrument to put in people's hands.
Well, you can either go to drugawareness.org.
Right.
And order online.
Okay.
Or you can call 1-800-280-0730. 800-280-0730.
Good. I recommend that people, definitely start looking into, into some of your work. I know that Dr. Horowitz was not impressed with very many people, and I told him that, I've known him for 20-some years, and since he was a kid, and I told him you were coming on my show, and he says, I've been trying to get her over here. He just wanted you so bad over there in Hawaii. He was really, and he isn't impressed very easy. He likes to impress himself, but he's very impressed by your work,
Yeah, he knows how hard I've worked.
Yeah,
I mean, people look at me, they don't understand. I mortgaged my house about 3 times just to be able to get all of this information out. And I'm a single mom raising a couple of kids, and they'd look at me and say, I don't get it. And I would say, look, what good is it going to do my kids to leave them a house in a world that's not worth living in?
Yeah, I agree.
It just doesn't make sense. I'd far rather make the world a better place and let them go out and get their own house if they have to. But at least it would be worth staying here for. At this point, it's scary.
No, I realize that. And unfortunately, our culture at this point is pretty much drugged. I mean, it's not going to happen. It's here.
I know.
And
Pfizer called me in for a deposition. They court-ordered all of my email. They court-ordered all of my transcripts from kindergarten on. Wanted to find out how feisty I was in kindergarten, I guess. But anyway, they, you know, this big show of force to get me in this deposition and ask me all these questions. I think the main reason was because they were upset about the comedian Phil Hartman's case. But they asked me point blank. They said, Dr. Tracy, aren't you the one that called the Hartman family the day of their deaths? Like that was the most despicable thing anybody could do, was to try to give those kids answers as to why they no longer had either a mother or a father. And I said, no, actually, it was the day after their death that I called. And I said, why didn't you make that call? Who made it my responsibility? I mean, why am I the one that has to go out and call on these to find out? Why don't you care enough about what your drug might be doing that you're following up on these terrible tragedies to see if the drug is involved? Because the next person who dies could be your wife, your son, or your daughter. And, you know, here this is, their lead attorney just stands there with this poker look on his face like, big deal.
Yeah, well, that's the game. It's a form of treason that they try to play. I've seen it in all forms and all industries. It's the oldest game in town, is to make a person, paint a person to be a treasonous person when they violate your constitution or their private constitution. And make you the victim. And that is, it's an old game.
Where's a little logic and wisdom in this world anymore? That's all I ask. Just a little bit of sanity, please.
Yeah, I can relate. You know, and you know, I guess the closest thing you're going to find is Dr. Fred here on this show. And I'm a real nutcase, but at least I don't try to do the same thing over and over again and get a different result. I got past that a few minutes ago. So beyond that, I'm always looking for a better way, and I know a lot of my listeners out there are thinking along these lines. I know that we've got a tremendous following in what we're doing here, and the truth will eventually prevail. It really will. It's on the way.
Well, I just made my first visit to a medical doctor for the first time in 30 years. Just this last month, and it was a real eye-opener.
Oh, I know. We were talking about that. Scare you a little bit?
Pardon me?
Scare you a little bit?
Yeah.
Did you thought you were back at the Inquisition?
Oh, I just couldn't believe how quickly drugs were pushed.
Oh, yeah. What'd they try to push on? You just had a small... You want to share what your problem was and all? I know what it is. I don't know if you want to share with the audience, but this is a minor thing. I mean, next to what we're dealing with here.
I started having stomach pain that I thought was a hiatal hernia, and I began throwing up. And I should have slowed down long enough to figure out what it was instead of running like crazy like I do all the time.
Yeah, we
but
all do
that. But I
didn't
slow down until I ended up with a full-blown gallbladder attack.
Right.
And learned that that was what it was all about.
And what did they try for that? The detox is good, but what did they try to push on you for that?
Well, I decided that I should probably go to a doctor so that I could get an ultrasound to find out how big the gallstones that I probably had were, so I could feel okay about doing the gallbladder flush and getting rid of the gallstones.
Right, which is a normal thing to do.
Mm-hmm. So I go in, and he starts pushing this drug for gas pain. I didn't even complain about any gas pain.
Wow.
I told him I was sure that I had had a gallbladder attack. I mean, I threw up bile for 12 hours. It's a pretty good clue.
Yeah, exactly.
And I said, listen, all I want is the ultrasound. I want to find out, you know, what is there. And so he said, well, okay, but go ahead and take these samples of this drug anyway. Take them until you get in for the ultrasound, which is several days away.
Yeah.
So I pull out the package insert and start reading it, and everybody's eyes got really big because I guess you're not supposed to read package inserts. But before I left the office, I turned to the nurse, and I won't quote myself because you might have to bleep me, but No, I didn't get that bad. I just said, do you know that this stuff causes kidney and liver failure? You know?
What did he say?
She just kind of looked at me like, gee, lady, you're not supposed to read the package insert.
I know. Well, it's just like these commercials, you know. So, you know, there's some little drug they sell, and then the side effects are heart attack, spasms, death, dysentery,
yeah.
You know. Other than that, you're going to feel great. Take this stuff.
It'll get rid of the gas pain, though, you know.
Oh, yeah, it'll get rid of the gas tank pain. You might lose an arm in the process.
So instead, I came home and took 40 drops of catnip tincture in 8 ounces of hot water, and within 15 minutes, any gallbladder pain I had was gone.
Yeah.
But I went ahead and did the gallbladder flush, the fresh apple juice for 3 days, and then the lemon, fresh lemon with the cold-pressed olive oil, and slept on my right side, and the next day all the gallstones were gone. And
that's all you had to do?
Yeah, it just comes out with the oil. And
well, we're running out of time here. That was a quick hour. I'd like to have you back on the show if you want to come back in the future.
Anytime.
And once again, give out your name of your book and your website.
The book is Prozac, Panacea, or Pandora, Our Serotonin Nightmare. The website is www.drugawareness.org. drugawareness.org, and you'll find over 1,000 cases, just articles about cases listed there. And the 800 number to order is 800-280-0730. 280-0730.
Okay, thanks. That's all the time we have now for this part of our show. Thank you, our guests, for being on tonight. Dr. Ann Blake Tracy. I hope that she'll come back on in the future. And now we have the last minute or two here on the show. I have a little thing we're going to be adding on the show from now on. And this is what we call an incompetence bash. And in an incompetence bash, what we want to do is take the most incompetent people that we know about and the most incompetent companies that we know about and present them on this part of our show. And this week, UPS is one of our United Parcel Service. We want to give them a incompetency bash for sending back items back that should have been shipped overseas. We ship things overseas to our clients, but they get as far as New York, and then they send us a nice little notice. They're rejected, you know, and they never even left the country by their own computers. And they also do outright lying on insurance claims. I had a bicycle that was completely destroyed, and about $300 I paid for the bicycle, and what happens is, boom, the bicycle come back smashed. They said, we broke it, we'll pay you for it, and they sent me a check for $100, and shipping was $200, and they packed it on the other end. I also want to add the Contact I Company, Coastal Contacts, for sending out Dear Sir or Madam to their best clients. They don't really want to care about you as a person anymore. These companies don't. So what we want to do, what you got listeners out there, you have any complaints about any company or any individual, email me, drfredbell@paradigm.com, and what we're going to do is we're going to send them on a hot rod to hell. And that's the end of our show tonight. And UPS is on board now. Postal Contact, and there they go. Thanks for listening to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show.